This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Can the police police themselves? And how might you find out what the record is of each officer, particularly in a case where you might have had an interaction with that officer? That proposition has been investigated by WNYC investigative reporter Robert Lewis, who looked into state laws that strictly protect police misconduct records from being publicly available. He also looked at states where this information is more readily available. In addition, the WNYC award-winning Data News team mapped police disciplinary records across all 50 states, letting you see at a glance that states like New York and California have some of the most restrictive laws in the nation when it comes to the public's right to know. Robert Lewis says knowledge of police conduct in those states is essentially buried underground like gold or precious gems. Lewis says other states make records much more available, perhaps as easily as one might check a book out of a public library.
In 1976, the state legislature here passed what's Section 50A of the Civil Rights Law, and it very specifically exempts law enforcement from having their personnel records disclosed, which is unlike other public employees. You work for the Department of Transportation, member of the public can go in and see whether or not you have a disciplinary history. So it's this law that very specifically exempts them, and it's been sort of expanded in its interpretation of what this means over the years to the extent that just about anything pertaining to an individual police officer, disciplinary records, civilian complaints, even incidents involving firearms, if it can be used to judge their performance, it's considered confidential.
And you might think that lawyers in court cases would be excluded from something like this and that they would have that kind of access, but you would be wrong.
If defense attorneys are given full access to a police officer's disciplinary record, which includes allegations, whether they're founded or unfounded, well, then they're absolutely going to try and use those to their client's advantage. And that could possibly sway a jury to allow a criminal to be set free when they really shouldn't be set free.
Now, that's Michael Palladino, who's the head of the New York Police Department Detectives Union, saying that lawyers shouldn't have access to this stuff.
The actual purpose of 50A, this is interesting, was to keep defense attorneys from harassing police officers in court. And one of the things that you hear from defense attorneys is that, on the flip side, this keeps them from ensuring their client gets a fair trial because, as a result, they say that they have a difficulty getting information that might impeach or undermine the credibility of an officer who is testifying against their client. And again, this is not just a New York issue. There was a study that was published in the Stanford Law Review earlier this year that looked at how these disciplinary records and the access to these disciplinary records impacts defendants' right to a fair trial. And what this article found was that depending on where you are arrested in the country, your access to these records very greatly influences whether or not you can push back against your accuser.
Has this ever been tested, the relevance of these kinds of records? Because they are kept, and presumably they're kept for a reason, and at some point someone would need to know about them.
Well, certainly. I mean, there are cases that bubble up periodically where somehow an officer's past history comes out after a case, after a conviction in particular. And you'll see these appeals where the defendant or where the appellate attorney will basically argue that there was a Brady or Giglio violation, which is refers to the Supreme Court cases that give a defendant a right to this type of information. And just for example, in February of this year, here in Manhattan State Court, there was a conviction overturned because the prosecutor didn't disclose to the defendant a history of lawsuits alleging false arrest. So, I mean, these are important issues. And so even prosecutors, I mean, there are a number of prosecutors' offices that are taking it upon themselves to both track this information and turn it over because they don't want their convictions overturned. They want to be able to provide this information, and they're confident that they have a strong enough case. They don't want, you know, 3 years down the line to have someone questioning it because they didn't turn over the fact that this guy had a lawsuit.
What specific stories have you heard in cases around the nation as you've investigated this?
So I talked to defense attorneys around the country as well as prosecutors around the country to get a sense of sort of how access to these records will impact cases. For example, I spoke to a woman named Nancy Daniels, who's the elected public defender in Tallahassee.
This officer had an excessive use of force history, several complaints. In fact, even had shot a person and been investigated for that. And we brought all that before the prosecutor, and they actually dismissed the case.
This didn't even get to a jury.
Exactly. And the reason she was able to do that and her attorneys were able to do that is because Florida has one of the most open public records laws in the country. And anyone can walk in and they can get all of these personnel disciplinary records pertaining to an officer. You could not do that in New York or California or a number of other states.
Well, I gather that your series here on WNYC is really all about why New York is so different from the state of Florida. What would you say, how would you characterize New York, and what are the people you've talked to, how do they characterize New York?
Well, I would say New York has one of the most restrictive laws in the country. I spoke to a law professor, in fact, at Pace University named Bennett Gershman, who's an expert on, in particular, on prosecutorial misconduct.
The laws of New York State are very, very police-friendly here, absolutely. And the confidentiality of these records is something that could very well produce a miscarriage of justice. Probably has, often. You know, again, that's a matter for the, you know, for the legislature in its infinite wisdom to decide to change.
What is the situation? Is it because the union is so powerful? Is it because law enforcement and prosecutors are very, very powerful politically in the state? Is it some sort of cultural tradition? Because, you know, the Garner case was extremely explosive here in the city.
There is definitely a strong belief amongst the people who are trying to change the law here that the police unions are just too powerful and they have too much sway to see any change to this. And I talked to the unions as well, and while they somewhat dismiss the claim that it's entirely because of their might, they say that the legislature listens to the concerns of their members. So there is a pending bill. I should say there's a pending bill that would at least somewhat amend the New York State law and allow a limited disclosure of a little bit of some records. So far, it's gone nowhere.
In the meantime, if we take a look at your project and the data team and you and other folks here at WNYC have put together, what do you see?
So New York is very restrictive. California is also incredibly restrictive. A state like Florida, Georgia, there it's open. And it's changing over time. I mean, in Illinois, for example, that's a good example where there were recently some case law, recently some changes that allow greater disclosure of records. In the past, attorneys there would only have access or the public would only have access to closed cases where misconduct was actually found. Well, if an officer has 30 civilian complaints against them and they're never found, the public would never know that. But maybe that matters, the fact that they had 30 complaints lodged against them. So now in Illinois, that's changed. So even unsubstantiated allegations can be disclosed. So all that's to say, these are issues that are being looked at and talked about across the country. We're seeing changes in the laws in both directions. And I think this is going to be something maybe to keep an eye on over the next couple of years.
Robert Lewis is a reporter for WNYC. He's on the investigative team taking a look at this around the United States. Thanks so much, Robert.
You're welcome.
Can you access police records in your state? Take a look at the map of Robert's findings at thetakeaway.org. How can transparency and an accessibility policy affect the practice of policing? In Connecticut, anyone can file a Freedom of Information Act request to access police personnel or disciplinary files. Joining us is Chief Gary McNamara, Police Chief of Fairfield, Connecticut. Chief McNamara, welcome to the program.
Hello, John.
How do officers and detectives and the culture of the entire force there in Fairfield, how are they affected by this policy?
You know, I don't know as though they really are affected. I think it goes towards organizational integrity as well as officer integrity. I mean, we in law enforcement know that we are a product of our past. And from day one, when you come on the job as a police officer, what you do and how you act really does follow you in most cases in a good way.
Now, you and I can both understand that, you know, police need advocates and that unions are advocates in good faith for law enforcement officers. But when a policy of a union goes to the extreme of protecting records to the point where defense attorneys, courts can't even get at these records in trials and cases of serious crimes. What do you think the impact of that is on officers? And I know you're speculating here, but what do you think the impact is?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to understand in Connecticut, it's not an open door. You can't just walk in and have the file. The officers do on occasion have times to contest that. And if there are those cases that the unions contest or the officer contests, those can go to a hearing. You know, it's not free access, unfettered access. There is an opportunity in some cases for the officers to contest the release of certain information. But, there are federal rulings, Supreme Court decisions that say that information in an officer's personnel file could be brought forward by defense attorneys so that they have an ability to see the credibility and the integrity of the police officer. It goes towards exculpatory information, whether or not the police officer is credible or whether there's something in their personnel file that would deem the officer less credible. And I think that is an important part of a fair trial that people should have. Understanding at the same time that unions play important roles in protecting officers in general.
Some of cases that we investigated in some of the states with very, very restrictive practices as far as these records are concerned, trials were affected. What's your response to that?
You know, we have to have truth in prosecution, and truth in prosecution starts with us. We are the gateway into the law enforcement system, into the justice system. We are the gateway, and it starts with us as police officers.
Is that integrity easier to achieve when records are easier to obtain in a public sort of open meetings kind of culture or not?
I think the integrity is with the training of the officers, hiring good people, understanding what's expected of them, and good training. The fact that you have something that if you do something wrong, it's going to be discovered shouldn't be our motto. Our motto should be to train good police officers, hire them, train them well, and keep them on the right path, not saying that if you do something wrong, we'll protect you and hide that from anybody, or we'll expose it. It really shouldn't be. That shouldn't be the benchmark of law enforcement.
And transparency helps you to achieve that benchmark. Is that what you're telling me?
I believe it does. I think it does. I think we need to. We can't hide the work we do from the community.
Gary McNamara is police chief of Fairfield, Connecticut. Thanks so much, Gary.
John, thank you so much for having me.
This is Peter from Tarrytown. Considering the immense responsibility police have and the fact that they carry weapons of deadly force, citizens have every right to know their history. Not knocking the police here at all, quite the opposite. Just trying to maintain a safe level of service in difficult situations.
Your thoughts on this one? Miami, Florida. I don't think putting every little mistake a cop makes on display is going to solve anything.
This is Jim Morgan calling from Easton, Pennsylvania. Well, it is true that cops do a tough job. I'm tired of that fact being used as an excuse not to hold them to a higher standard. The public has a right to know which police officers are a problem. There will always be a few bad apples that need to be dealt with. Covering up disciplinary records diminishes the credibility of all cops.
Let us know your thoughts at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.